This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
I'm here with Kat Pressland from the University of Manchester, but she's also here with the Royal Society of Chemistry. Welcome to the Jodcast.
Hi.
So could you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing here this weekend at Blue Dot?
So our stand is called Life of Water, and we're basically looking at water in a couple of different ways. So we are looking at plastics in the ocean with our fun little hook it up game. Mm-hmm. So we've got questions and we're looking at different types of plastics that were found in the ocean. And then we're also seeing what they're made out of and whether these particular ones can be recycled or not. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun little game. We're also looking at water filtration. So we're seeing how it's easier to take the larger things out first and then the mediums are small. And then you can see how you could actually make one of these at home if you want to, seeing the homemade version. You can buy them, and we've also got a time block game so you can see if you can get onto our leaderboard and get faster times if you keep going and going at it. But we've also got looking at water to make safe water. Mm-hmm. If you ever happen to be marooned on a desert island and you want to get pure water out of salt water, mm-hmm. you can come and see if you can work out what the system would be, mm-hmm. and we can tell you how to purify water from salt water just using the sun and a few little bits and bobs like a plastic bowl and cling film and a rock. And then just to top it all off, because we are at a festival, we've got free joysticks. So you can come learn about the chemistry of joysticks. And if you see us near the end of the day as well, we've got some UV paints as well. So, yeah.
I will definitely be back later on. So, what is the chemistry of joysticks?
So, chemistry of joysticks is there's two different chemicals within the joystick. When you snap it, you're actually breaking a little bit of glass that's in there, and it lets the two chemicals react. So it's a chemical reaction happening, which is why eventually the glow will disappear, because the reaction is complete and it goes. If you keep it really cool, it'll last for longer, but not be as bright. And then if the sun comes back out again and it gets really hot, the reaction will go faster, and that means they'll stop going. So again, get them for later. Just have to listen to the 60 seconds of science of how they actually work, and learn about the different dyes that we've also got in them, and you can see why the different colours. And yeah, you can get a free plastic.
Mm-hmm. So you have different dyes and to give different colours.
Yeah.
Is that right? Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So yeah, so the chemicals are quite complicated if you looked at them, but there's some, well, it's just general kind of colours, so there's rhodamine B for red, rubine for yellow, and then the other ones have very long names, but essentially they're just in there to kind of give a bit of difference, so we've got some red ones, some pink ones, orange ones, and then if you come down you can come and look at the structures and see what they look like and learn the chemistry about them.
Oh, that's cool. So wait, so if you didn't have the dyes in, would they just glow white or...?
There's probably a kind of greeny colour, more likely. However, I'm not 100% sure.
No, I was just curious.
But yeah, because it's the same two chemicals that are in there, so you need to have the different dyes in to kind of get lots of different colours, because it's just which are hydrogen peroxide and xenol oxalate, so it would be kind of just giving out energy, but maybe it's probably quite a
remote colour. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I was just wondering, because I think I always assumed each tube had a different reaction, if that makes sense, to make the different colours, like, you know, when you think, I'm thinking back to, like, chemistry school, when you put something in a Bunsen burner and it goes with a different colour, and I was, that is where my mind would always have gone.
Yeah, well, if you come here, we can show you the actual chemical reaction and show you what the structures are, mm-hmm. and how the two different chemicals react together, form one thing, which then reacts with the dye, and then you get the excited dye, and actually a little bit of carbon dioxide.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then there's little bubbles in there, carbon dioxide.
Ah, so I noticed one of the other things you had was you had like a little foamy elephant thing. You said that had quite some interesting origins.
Yes, so we're looking at how flip-flops are washed up onto beaches, and about 90 tons are kind of washed up onto Kenyan beaches. And what they're actually doing, Kenyan people are going around picking up flip-flops, and they've been taught how to wash them, clean them, and pack them down and sculpt them into animals. And then they kind of turn this into an enterprising thing, which they can then sell on. So we bought one of the little elephants, so you can come see a little elephant made out of flip-flops. And it's really cool and really cute.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very cool. It's a very interesting use of a plastic that I wouldn't really think of how to reuse.
No, I mean, most people would just kind of say flip-flop. Mm-hmm. When I said I was buying an elephant made out of flip-flop, people thought it was crazy. but then I showed them going, actually, no, it does feel like a flip-flop. But you can see how a lot of work has gone into it. And it's a great way to kind of get artists in Kenya to actually first clean up the beaches and then actually make some money out of it.
Yeah, sounds very cool. So you are here in Blue Dot today talking about water. What's your research, like, more generally?
So my research actually was in nanochemistry, but I now am an education coordinator for the World Society of Chemistry, so my remit is to support chemistry education across the Northwest through primary through to secondary with resources, talking to teachers, talking to industry, universities, and then delivering outreach and creating these things so that RSC members who want to do outreach and want to do it, but they don't have to go about it. We set it all up for them, give them the activities, tell them the training, and then do all the research so it's ready to go. And then, yeah, so it's quite a fun job.
Yeah, no, that sounds very cool. I mean, they just get to rock up and have fun, right? And
rock up, have fun, do it, and not have to stress about going to the tournament. It's just the right kind of activities where people expect this. And that way there's like a whole team that kind of ties together. So it works quite well in the planet field because it's looking at the fragile blue earth, and then I feel that these activities work quite well with that theme.
Okay, so in that role, would you say, like, what is the misunderstanding that you most often come across in your work, like, in doing kind of chemistry outreach?
Chemistry outreach, that someone is bound to come across and say, why are you exploding things?
Oh, really?
It's like, that's all chemistry is, it's things explode. But there's so much to do with chemistry, and just trying to make chemistry a bit more accessible, a bit more fun. Like, people kind of sometimes recoil when you say chemistry. And it's like, it's not that difficult if you just come and play a little game and then learn to play. And that's all we're doing here, is just to kind of make it a bit more fun, really, and it's not that scary a subject if you do it in the right kind of way.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. Well, thank you for speaking to us on the Dreadcast.
No worries.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of the festival.
Yes, you can.